What up, Josh?
What's up, man?
How you living? What's going on?
I'm doing all right, man. Just, you know, believe it or not, this is my first time ever using fucking FaceTime, man.
Holy shit, that's crazy. It feels good to help introduce you to the Wild Wild West out here.
Hey, that's what's up, man. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Now, you know what I like about your channel is that ever since I subscribed, every single time I'm like scrolling through my subscriptions in the morning, I see your video and it briefly reminds me like, oh man, I'm so glad that I'm not in prison.
Yeah. Hey, look, talking about prison all the time reminds me every day. You know what I mean? The shit's a shit show, man. I don't ever want to go back.
Yeah, I hear that, man. So tell me a little bit about, I mean, I guess we need the early version of where you're coming from and everything before we even get into you getting locked up, before we even get into, like, how you became a YouTuber who largely shares his experiences about being locked up. So let's do the first thing. Let's talk about your upbringing, where you're coming from, what your early days were like.
Well, you know, just like the next person that kind of got into a lot of trouble. You know, we grow up, didn't have much money and stuff like that.
Where'd you grow up at? Where'd you grow up at?
I grew up in a place called Chesapeake in Virginia. In Tidewater area near Norfolk, Virginia Beach, Portsmouth. But really, you know, I had a good upbringing. I went on the right track from the beginning. It wasn't until I was about 13 where everything started hitting the fan. I started, you know, hanging around with the wrong crowd and, you know, and all that, man. Just got locked
13,
up.
I feel like 13 is when young men start to go bad, because up until that point, you're like, you could be into comic books, you could be into, you know, regular kid shit, and then around like the time that puberty starts hitting when you're like 13, that's when it starts to be like, ah, oh, man, I want to get into some fuck shit.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, I was a little dude growing up, and you know, when you're out there and, you know, you're trying to impress the ladies and shit, you try to act tough and, you know, you demand respect, especially as a little individual, you know. Everyone was kind of maturing before me, so I really had to step it up a notch, you know what I mean? And I really cranked it up. And I started getting arrested as a juvie.
What was your first arrest?
My first arrest?
Yeah.
It was breaking into a house, my first arrest. Yeah. Well, actually, no, that wasn't my first arrest. My first arrest, but I didn't really see too much from it because I was so young, was from a video store, man. You know how, I don't know, if over there on the West Coast, back in the day, they used to have, like, you know, Blockbusters or places you can rent videos, VHSs and stuff.
Yep.
And they had an adult section. They used to have the tapes behind the box.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I first got caught up with the law, man, trying to steal a little porno.
No, that's funny, because I'm from right outside Boston, actually, originally, and yeah. That was one of my my early criminal mastermind memories, is that we figured out that you could just go into the video store. Like, it wasn't a Blockbuster, it was like it was called Video Mat, actually, and I remember we would go in there, and for like a week, you know, we would go in there almost every day and just snatch one of the tapes. Like, we were stealing regular movies. I don't think we had the balls to go in the porno section because we were like 13. And
yeah.
I remember they installed like metal detector things like that would detect the sensor on the videos, and they installed that because of us. And it only took them like a week after we started stealing. And I remember being kind of amazed, like, whoa, like if we start doing shit, then people are going to actually react and like up their security. And that was it felt like very strange to see them add that security measure just because of us at a young age.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. That's how it went off for me. The little metal strip went off on the little alarm things. They tackled me on my bike. And now, you know, that was pretty much it, man. It's just, you know, a lot of people that I started hanging around with had a big play with it too, you know. Just everyone was getting into shit, man. And I just ended up taking it to a whole nother level as I got older and older. I started breaking into cars, believe it or not. That was one of my, I would like to say a profession, because I was so damn good at it. Breaking into cars. It's sad to say, man, but that's how it all started as a young guy, man. Breaking into cars, you know, stealing anything and everything I get my damn hands on. And because I didn't feel like working at, you know, 15 and stuff like that, trying to find a job or whatever the case was. My family didn't have no damn money. So I went out there and took stuff. And then it escalated to getting a gun and pulling off, you know, strong arm robberies every freaking night to meet a quota to get some cash for the next party night, you know.
Holy shit. So you, what age did you get your first gun?
What year?
What age?
What age?
Yeah.
I was, man, honestly, I started playing with them for, I would say I started playing with them when I was about 15 or 16, but I didn't really use them as strong arm robbery until I was probably about 17, 16, you know, somewhere around there. I don't know. I didn't really keep date to it.
Did that, was that like a really in like a liberating moment for you when you realized that you could just take somebody's shit?
It felt like fucking Superman, man. I was, because I was so little, man. And, you know, I'll never forget it, man. The first time I did it, it was to an older individual, and he was a pretty big dude. And, man, it looked like he had the fear of God in his heart. And, you know, I actually did a video, man, talking about something along the lines, because I saw what happened to you recently, man. That had to be kind of a frightening moment.
That was a weird one, yeah. Now, that was a crazy moment, too, because it's like, as soon as, by the time I saw that the guy had the gun pointed at me, my guy had his gun pointed at the guy as well. So I'm like, I'm almost like, before I even started to think about me getting shot, I was thinking about like, holy shit, is this dude about to die right in front of me? And then, luckily, my guy felt that it wasn't, like, you know, he grabbed the guy right away. And so, like, the gun was only pointing at me for a split second. But, I mean, that was a weird situation where, you know, I've had a lot of people hit me up and basically be like, you know, why didn't, like, you guys should have popped that dude. Like, you could have popped him. You could have got away with it. But then, you know, I feel for my dude that it's like, you know, he never killed anybody. And it's like, he's really knowledgeable about guns. He knows all about guns. But at the same time, like, if does he really want to have that on his conscience, regardless of if he felt justified doing it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, man. If I seen someone pull a gun, if I was working for you, man, his ass would have been lit up.
I feel like if it were to happen again, then that would probably happen like more.
I'm sure, you know, I don't know. He probably made the right decision, but me, knowing me, if I was getting paid to protect someone and someone pulled out a gun, I'm going to light him up. You know, that's all there is to it. But, you know, either way is the right way. Everything ended up good, so.
I think I'm just going to light them up myself next time. I'm going to be rolling a little bit heavier next time, you know?
Yeah.
So when did you first get locked up and actually end up doing, like, a legit amount of time?
Man, honestly, man, to tell you the God's honest truth, I'm horrible with dates, names, numbers.
But no specifics. We don't need specifics,
say about,
you know?
16 in high school is when I first went to juvie. For grand larceny and breaking into a house. And then, I mean, 17, just, you know, right after I graduated high school, that's when I committed my big felony that sent me to prison.
Oh, so what was that?
I was charged with, I ended up getting into a fight. I was at my house. Long story short, a group of guys pulled up to my house. I could tell they were trying to start some stuff, and, you know, I wasn't trying to get jumped or nothing. And I had a knife, and I stabbed one guy. He approached me, swung at me, and I kind of just ducked it, bear hugged him, and stabbed him in the back a couple times. And long story short, they went to the hospital. Went to the hospital. When you go to the hospital with a wound like that, the cops are involved. You know, the doctors asked what the hell happened. You know, a few hours later, after I done tried getting rid of the weapon and stuff. I tell the story on my channel, but the cops came to my house. They arrested me. It turns out they said that I not only stabbed them, but they said that I followed them, put a gun to their head, and made him and his girl, or whatever girl was driving, got him out the car, put him in the car, and took him somewhere else. So I had abduction, which is like kidnapping. I had felony assault with a weapon, which was dropped to unlawful wounding as the court process went through. A lot of people ain't heard of that charge. Maybe it's just a Virginia thing, but unlawful wounding is a major difference between felony assault with weapon. You know, it carries a maximum of 5. So the guy, you know, pretty much I was able to defend myself, but the stuff that I did, I guess, was too much force, and someone kind of had to pay for it.
Wow, really? So when I hear that, though, it sounds like pretty, like, textbook self-defense. But you're saying that you couldn't get away from the lies that they were putting on you?
No, they brought that up in court saying, you know, I could have ran. I could have ran and called the cops. And then some of the stuff that I did afterwards might have been a little too much. But at the same time, you know, when you're going through a situation like that and someone's charging at you, and my house was on a main road too, man. It wasn't really, I couldn't really run out there. I'd get hit by a car. I could have ran in the backyard or something, but I'm not thinking like that. I'm thinking it's my house. I could kill them if I want to, if they're trying to, you know, attack me.
And that's the American way.
Yeah, a lot of states have that law, stand your ground law. I think it's Florida and a few other states. But, yeah, and I always tell people that, man, you got to be aware of your laws and stuff, because what I thought was doing was right landed me in prison.
So how long did you get locked up for that time around?
The first time was about 4 years, give or take a month or two. Got out, violated, went back in for 6 months, got out, violated, went back in for 6 months, got out and went and did another 3 years.
Wow, man. So they gave you 4 years. Like that's such a way to destroy somebody's life or any potential that they have of having a good, productive life. If you take a 17-year-old and throw him in jail for 4 years for something that is like really at the end of the day, self-defense.
Yeah. I mean, I had before the whole thing happened, I still had pending charges too, man. I had a bunch of other little petty stuff and I was already, had the juvie record. So it was all kind of just, I had so many charges at once, man. It was just overwhelming. Honestly, I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life in prison. Because the abduction charge, malicious wounding, kidnapping, whatever, that carried, over 50 years. So I went in there expecting not to be leaving no damn time soon, man. So I'm actually very blessed. If I didn't beat that charge, I wouldn't even know what YouTube is. I'd still be in there eating fucking ramen noodles.
Oh, but, man. See, I hear a story like that and it trips me out so bad, because when I look back at, wait, how old are you?
32.
Okay. So you're a little bit younger than me. But when I look at my life growing up, I got into all the bad stuff when I was in high school and stuff, but then I just didn't like graduate up the ladder in the same way that you did. Like I never got a gun when I was, 16, but I did start doing credit card fraud, which I was lucky enough to never get caught doing, even though I did that for a few years,
Yeah.
And like, it just, when I look at like the process that you were going through, because to a lot of people that sounds crazy. Like, why would you, as a young guy, why would you just grow up and decide that you want to start committing crimes instead of going and getting a job? I meet people all the time who are motivated to like get a good job when they're young. I'm like, man, a job didn't even cross my mind as a young man. Like I didn't even have that filter of being able to think of life as like a positive process where I would like, be able to find this legal way to get money. It's like, as a young dude, like crime just always seems like what my mind gravitated towards.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, a huge factor in everything too, man. It wasn't just the people I was around. They didn't really influence me too much. I was just kind of, going with the flow. But what really influenced me, and a lot of people disagree with this, but a lot of people agree. And this is a big topic, man. Drugs and music put together. I idolized certain rappers.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be just like them at the same time. And it all kind of just grasped together. So people say, you must be weak-minded if you were influenced by music. I wasn't completely influenced by music, but at the same time, music, I loved it. And when you're, rolling on E-pills and, getting drunk and smoking weed, you're feeling the vibe and you want to get out there. And that's how it was. I just, it all kind of just overwhelmed me and I went with the flow, man.
No, definitely. I mean, I think people underestimate how much of an influence that shit could have on you, because like I say this as a grown man who I don't really like fuck around with drugs like that anymore. But sometimes I will hear a rapper say something about taking Xanax or lean or whatever, and my brain still gets briefly triggered, like, oh, yeah. I would like to just shut my brain off right now and just have that kind of day. And I'm lucky that I'm an adult and I can, all right, I'm not going to do that. But For a young person, I mean, I can't even imagine how overwhelming it is. I'm lucky that I didn't really mess around with drugs until I got older,
Yeah, I mean, people can say what they want, but, when people hear their joint come on the radio, it makes them feel some kind of way.
Hell
And
yeah.
it reacts to everyone, you know. And like you, man, I don't do no drugs no more, man. I drink coffee, that's about it. But back then, man, you know, our minds are developing. I was 17. Man, I was just out there, man. I was lost, and now I'm back, you know.
So, what was your experience like when you actually got to jail? Like, did you fit in pretty well? Were you dealing with a whole bunch of people fucking with you, or were you able to
Well,
hang pretty well?
at first, you know, some people try to, you know, test me a little bit with certain things, but for the most part, I fit in, man. You know, I got into the, you know, everyone says don't gamble and stuff like that. Well, you know, that's what I got into big time. You know, it's within a couple months I was gambling hardcore, and you know, I've always liked to play cards and dice and stuff like that. So, you know, I always tell people on my channel, you know, try to learn how to play cards and stuff before, if you know you're on bond and you're about to go in, because that's really the only thing that you got to do in there, man. Read, play cards, gamble, whatever the case is. Watch, you know, the community TV or whatever until you go to prison. But if you know how to play cards, you can really fit into the system. And I loved it, man. You know, and that was honestly how I got into the mix of everything, you know.
I love cards and I love poker, so that actually sounds that's the only relief that I could imagine about prison is like, well, shit, if I get to play a lot more cards, then I guess it couldn't be all bad.
Yeah, some of my fondest memories of prison was prison poker. You know, I spent years playing poker in there, man. You know, nonstop. Wake up in the morning and then end it at night. You know,
Did you have issues like okay, was there a big divide racially in the prison that you went to? Were there a lot of Nazis? Was there a lot of white power stuff? And was it ever like a temptation that you might have to align yourself with people who you didn't agree with ideology wise?
nope. And that's one of the big focuses that I talk about on my channel as well, man. It's like a Twilight Zone from the West Coast. The white dudes, like my whole time being locked up in all these prisons and jails, I mean, I've probably seen a handful of AB, Aryan Brotherhood, or you know, white groups. And if they were grouped up, they have no power, they have no say. So most white dudes, you know, they're claiming, you know, GD folk or stuff like that, you know, black gangs.
Right.
And for and everything in jail over here was, you know, blended. It was very blended. The racism was there, trust me. The racism was there, but it was more like hush hush. They'll talk their shit behind closed doors.
Right.
But for the most part, it was blended. And Bloods, Crips, they, you know, they ran everything pretty much everywhere I was at least. But no, I was never tempted to join. You know, all my friends on the streets were black, so I mean,
Right.
I really didn't relate to most of the white dudes in there on some things, you know. I still had a lot of, you know, white buddies in there, but that's just how it was, man, you know.
Did you run into a lot of problems, or was it mostly smooth sailing? Like, did you run into a lot of violence, a lot of situations where you really had to prove yourself?
Honestly, man, I look back at it, man, and I say it's like by the graces of God, because you know I'm not the biggest guy. You know what I mean?
Wait, how tall
It's
are you?
not.
'Cause you seem kind of
Man,
big to.
I'm only like five. I'm 5'9". I guess that's kind of normal, right?
I mean, you got some biceps on you. You look like you hit the gym pretty consistently, so you don't
Actually,
strike me as like a small
I haven't
dude.
been in a while. I haven't been in a while, but 5'9", you know, it's not too 5'10" on a good day, you know.
Okay.
But I'm not a big dude, you know, and I would never. I'm always the kind of guy that, you know, drama free, and I'm not the guy to start stuff. So I've always, every time I talk to someone, it seemed like they just enjoyed my company. And I guess a gift of gab, you could say, man. I always showed respect, and I always listened to people's stories. I never really judged them for, you know, regardless if they had a lot of food in the box or if they're making a lot of money. Believe it or not, a lot of inmates will judge you based upon how much money you're getting in jail or prison. And you know, I didn't care about that stuff, man. I don't know, it's just I got lucky as hell, I guess you could say, man. I mean, there were certain times, you know, when I got to prison where I had to carry weapons and stuff like that. You never know, looking behind your back, what might happen. But for the most part, it was smooth sailings for me, man. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of assumed that about prison is that, you know, a lot of the people who end up in horrible situations in prison, it might largely be because, you know, they're fucking scumbags and they gravitate towards that element. Whereas I feel like if you go in there and you're smart and you're putting yourself out there as somebody who actually could have, you know, a relationship and, you know, connect with people emotionally, have conversations with people, that for the most part, as far as I know, people on Earth, If they respect your mind, then they're not going to necessarily want to disrespect you if you're not a disrespectful person.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, yeah. But, you know, there's always that little astronomic number of individuals where they just don't give a shit, don't disrespect you, and whatever the case is, regardless of respect or not. And, you know, that's just a couple people I happen to avoid. You know, coming up, some people, you know, it's just like on the streets, they'll hate you for no damn reason. They might just hate the way you sound, hate the way you look. Haters, man, you know, even in prison, you'll see them. But, you know, for the most part, like I said, it was smooth sailing. I mean, I got in fights regardless. Right. I can't guarantee 99% of the time, if you're doing, you know, over a year or so in lockup, you're going to get in a fight. You know,
right.
So, but.
Okay, so you get out, and then you went back in a couple of times. Were those, like, accidents? Were you sitting in prison thinking, like, I'm going to get out, and I'm going to keep my nose clean, and I'm going to get motivated, or were you still, like, back and forth on the street life?
Nah, man, I just couldn't stop smoking weed, man.
Oh, that was it? Damn.
That was it, man. I kept popping dirty for weed, and I got a DUI in the drunk in public, and,
ooh.
You know, when you're on probation, you can't catch nothing. At least in Virginia, any charge will send you back in front of the judge. And that's what the case was for me. The third time, they sent me away for, about 3 years, was for a damn drunk in public, you know. And
wow.
It was crazy. I had a DUI on my record and drunk in public, and that's what it was, man. You know, it was absolutely insane. I couldn't believe. I knew that they were going to give me some time, but I didn't think they were going to give me that much, man. I was hoping to get time served or something. But
so what was that the final 3 years like? Were you extra motivated during that time period, like, I'm gonna get out, I'm not gonna fuck up?
Yeah, I had children then, you know. When I first got locked up, I didn't have no children, so I didn't have no wife, so I was acting crazy as hell, man. You know, those 4 years or whatever, I was acting really wild. But the second go round, like, my second violation went in for 6 months. My kids were born while I was in jail. Okay, so I missed their birth, my twins.
Twins. Holy shit.
Yeah, I got three daughters. I got another one on the way. Should be here around September, man. All girls.
Wow, amazing. That was God. God gave you that to change you.
Yeah, it damn sure did, man. it did. It definitely opens your eyes, man. But when I went there and my kids were born, I tried everything I could to stay out, but I stopped smoking weed. But what I do, I started drinking, and then boom, I got the drinking charges, and fuck. And that went like that. But when I was in there the last time, man, I really matured. Still gamble. Still gamble my ass off, but.
But is that a way to stay out of trouble in jail, or was that just a way for you to keep getting back into shit?
Man, no. I mean, if you want to stay out of trouble in jail, really, you just don't do drugs, man. Don't carry weapons. Don't. If you're in a gang, you know, it's very hard to stay out of trouble. You know
Were
mean?
You doing drugs in jail?
I mean, yeah, I smoked quite a bit of weed. Yeah. That's all I did. I did a story the other day. I don't know if you ever heard of Love Boat, man. Someone has some laced weed. Love Boat, Dippers, PCP, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was the first time I ever tried it. And I didn't know I was trying it, though, man. It was a different high, and it turns out that's what it was. And then that was my first time going around. But the second time, no, I didn't smoke no weed. All I did was smoke cigarettes because they took cigarettes out of prisons and jails, and I just started smoking cigarettes, drinking coffee, and gambling. That's it, man, working out. You know, that was it. That was my routine. It was a totally different way of life compared to my first time going around. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that always fascinates me when I hear about people getting fucked up in jail, because there's a rapper that I'm cool with that is locked up right now, and he's, you know, everybody knows him to just be this guy who just drinks crazy amount of lean. And I was having a conversation with somebody. I'm like, man, I wonder how he's doing without being able to get lean in jail. And they're like, we talked to that fool the other day. He off mad pills right now. I'm like, oh, right. That makes sense.
You better believe you can get just about damn near anything you want there, man. I've seen some of the dirtiest shit. You know, I go on, you know, I've made 300 some videos on my channel talking about the crazy shit I done seen, you know.
Yeah.
Prison's prison, man. If your money's right, you know, you're going to get it, you know, for the most part.
Who put the YouTube bug in your brain? Like, were you thinking about that primarily on this final the final term in prison?
Nah, man. Honestly, I ain't never watched YouTube ever. You know what I mean? I didn't have no social media. I was always one of those low-key guys, and I didn't want nobody knowing anything about me, man. And I got out, went to a bar, met someone. And they're telling me about how there's prison YouTube channel.
Right.
You know? And boom, you know, I tried it out. I tried it with prison tattoo machine. Because that's what I did a lot in prison, man. My first go around, I was tattooing like crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I tried it out, and it grew, it blew up, you know. And then I was like, screw it, I'll just start telling stories of shit I did. And then it started helping people. And I said, okay, I'll start telling people how to survive certain situations.
Right.
And now I'm interviewing people from all over the country, letting them tell them their, you know, kind of what you do with rappers and stuff. I let people tell me their craziest and wild stories from lockup, you know?
Right.
And I hear a lot of successful stories, and I hear a lot of bullshit, you know? My viewers, you know, they'll chew you up, man. They'll get to the root of things real quick, you know? You know how
that's amazing.
Yeah.
No, because that's one thing I notice is that people who have been in prison, they there's such a bond or like a shared understanding of this world that like people who haven't really been in prison don't understand. And listen, I get it, because like the longest I ever been locked up was 24 hours in a holding cell in Manhattan, and I'm telling you, it was the worst 24 hours of my life. Like, in that 24 hours, it just made me be like, holy shit, I gotta never fuck up again, because it is not worth it.
Yeah, yeah. I just actually went to New York City the other day to interview a rapper named China Mac, man. He was talking.
Oh,
about,
shout out China Mac. Yeah, I fuck with him.
Yeah, man, he's a good dude, man. He's been in the mix, man, and he has some crazy stories. But yeah, that's what I was talking to. He was talking about all these different jail stories from, you know, New York City, man. And that's a different beast on itself, man. You know how that city is.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've seen some wild stuff just even in that brief period of time. But man, like the YouTube thing, it's really helped to like change your life, right? Because I can only assume that, you know, you're getting out of jail and you're picturing what your lifestyle is going to be like, and you're thinking like, I'm going to have a job. And yeah, maybe having a job and making an okay amount of money is a lot better than being in prison, but the YouTuber lifestyle must seem like a fucking dream to you in comparison, just being able to create content and interact with people. Like, it probably seems so much better than anything you could have ever hoped for when you're on the inside, right?
Yeah, well, actually, when I got out, okay, my father owns an art business, and it actually just blew up while I was in prison on my last go-round. You know,
wow.
Before that, me and my family have always been struggling for money, but his art business blew up, and I came out and I started working for him. So we do a lot of artwork, surf art, as a matter of fact. And I really, you know, I wasn't hurting for money or anything. And then I tried the YouTube stuff, and then it was like 9-10 months that, you know, it was during the YouTube, Adpocalypse. I don't know if you remember that shit.
Oh, you got into it right when that stuff started. That makes sense.
Yeah, so it took forever for me to even get monetized, even though I passed all the qualifications. And, you know, it didn't really matter because I had a lot of free time. You know, I work early and I get off early. So I had a lot of free time on my hands. So win or lose, I'm still, you know, I'm good. But sure enough, it went through. And yeah, it definitely paid off to stick with it. You know, it was a great, great extra side, you know.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I notice on YouTube is that if I do an interview with someone, like I did an interview with this dude GQ Casanova recently, who he was locked up for a long ass time. He's got a crazy reputation for being on Rikers Island, cutting people open, whatever. And he was discussing the rapper Casanova. And that interview got like 600,000 views. And this is just a dude who was just locked up, who's got some crazy prison stories. He's not like a famous rapper or anything. And, you know, it's getting crazy amounts of views. Like the percentage of people who just want to hear about street shit, prison shit, gangster shit, always amazes me that there's just such an appetite for people who want to hear about that side of things.
And you'd be surprised, man. It ain't just young bucks. You know, a lot of my viewers, I'd say, you know, majority of my viewers are just parents that want to know what it's like for their kids. What the hell are they going through? They want to relate. And, you know, this is America, man. They're locking people up like clockwork, you know.
Right.
And that's why I started it, because my little interview thing, because I want people to know what lockup is like in every freaking state, you know, because I could give you information where I'm from, but you go to freaking Cali, you're in for a rude awakening. You know what I mean? It's going to be totally different. It's the lockup system in America, man. It's ridiculous. People are getting locked up for serious amounts of time for petty shit. And that's probably why there's such a huge appetite for it, man. And also it's the unknown. You know, people love to figure out the unknown, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a mysterious thing. It's kind of like a taboo to know what the hell's going on in a prisoner's mind and what he does.
Like people are fascinated with, you know, travel shows. Like, oh, I wonder what Japan is like. But the thing about Japan is you can buy a flight. You can go to Japan. You can't go to jail. Like, you got to do something fucked up if you want to get in there. So it's understandable that people are very curious about it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy. So, talk to me about your fans, because I'm sure that you have just an incredibly eclectic and weird mix of people who watch your videos. Do you run into a lot of people who are really, like, of that gangster life, like people who are real, real street dudes that contact you and are thankful that you're, like, communicating about what they've been through?
Well, man, I do. You know, it's hard to judge, man, you know. YouTube and comments and viewers, some of them I have talked to face to face, you know, through Instagram or whatever, but for the most part, people can say what they want. There's no way I can prove anything, you know. It's not like prison, hey, let me see your paperwork. I can't do that. People can sound as gangster as they want in the comment section, you know how it goes, but for the most part, there's no way I can judge. I just kind of sit there and not judge and just let people, you know, regardless if they are 100% street or not, which I would never know. Sometimes people would say comments that I can tell they've definitely been in the mix, you know, just by reading it. And
right.
You know, it's hard to explain, but yeah. And you know, there's other people where you can tell they're probably just 11-year-old talking gangster, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know, comment section and viewers, I do have great and amazing viewers, man. I have awesome support, man. It's unbelievable, to tell you the truth. I had no idea that it would even get to this. I can't believe I'm even, you know, in YouTube. I was talking to China Mac and I'm talking to you. It's crazy, man, how stuff evolves in life. You know what I mean?
No, yeah. I mean, I think that's one thing I get out of whenever I watch your channel is just that. You know, it's so different, because when you're in prison, it must be so hard to feel any sort of sense of hope. It must be so hard to find anything to look forward to. And then to see you actually being able to, like, you know, sort of find the same meaning through your content that I have, and just being able to have that excited feeling when you wake up to be able to just make stuff and to know that thousands of people are going to see it. I mean, that's a crazy positive feeling. And it just, I don't know, it makes me feel really good when I see your channel, just knowing where your mind state must have been at a couple years ago and how different this must feel in comparison, you know?
Yeah, man. And, you know, it's just all about adapting, I guess. You know, it's still in there. Survival. The fittest is still in there. Mm. But when you're around your children for years, like I've been out going on 4 years.
4 years. Okay.
Yeah, it seems as though it's like it just was a bad nightmare, you know. I'm kind of growing towards the square life, you know, much more easier now I have kids. My whole life has changed up, man. You know what I mean? The people, I don't surround myself with anyone that I used to. It's all family oriented, you know, family and trying to uplift and keep people from ruining their freaking lives, man, especially with the gang shit, man. It seems as though a lot of people think this gang shit is so cool nowadays. It's not, man. It's not. That shit will ruin your life. You'll either end up dead if you're really in it for real. You'll either end up dead or you'll be in prison the rest of your life, you know? And if you go listen to some of the OGs that's done did it and survived, they'll tell you the same shit, man. You know what I mean? When you grow up, shit changes.
No, yeah, man, that's crazy. No, I was, because I'm always kind of back and forth in my head between when I'm having a communication with my viewers or anything like that, where on one hand, like if I meet some young fan and he tells me, like, you know, yeah, I sell this drug or that drug, there's a part of you that, you know, still has a reverence for that lifestyle where you're kind of like, damn, you're making all this money shipping packs, doing whatever. It's like, damn, all right, like, I respect that. But then there's also a part of me that's like, you're 21 and I'm 35 and I know how dangerous the lifestyle that you're living is and I know where it could end you. And it's hard to balance that, because on one hand, it's like, I do respect the drug dealer, but then I also feel for you because I know what is at the end of the tunnel in this lifestyle, whether you're going to get popped by somebody or you're going to get locked up for 5-10 years. You know, it's hard when you hear somebody talking about that and to know what way I should talk to them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look, the fast life, I ain't gonna lie, that shit was fun as hell. You know what I mean? I had a blast. You know, the power you have when holding a gun, the respect you get, the women and all that stuff. Hey, yeah, it's fun, man. And then, you know, you just got to look at the dark side of it. People don't focus on the dark side of the shit. They just look at the good. Mm. Just like I say to people that might be addicted to heroin or something, when they want to do it, all they're thinking about is the high. They're not thinking about the come down or the, you know, the withdrawals that they had to go through. They're not thinking about the bad. They just think about the good. And sometimes you need to focus on the bad more than the good in situations like that, you know? But yeah, anytime I hear people talking to me, some of my old homeboys are telling me what they're doing. I'm like, damn, yeah, that sounds like fun. It you know, it could be fun, but after about 2 days of doing it, you're like, shit, you know, this ain't me no more.
Definitely.
You see the finer things in life, man. That's all there is to it, I guess. And locked up, man. Being locked up, you really realize the finer things in life. I mean, shit, just going outside and seeing a patch of flowers, you know, having carpet underneath your feet, opening up a fridge anytime you want and eating anything you want, or turning on a freaking 60-inch TV and, you know, watching 4K, you know, just stuff like that. When you're locked up, you really, all the stuff that you took for granted, you know, it's no more. It's like, this is all you really need, you know. Boredom will kill you in prison and jail. Most people don't gamble. Most people, you know, I'd say probably 10, 15% of people will sit there gamble and time will fly like mine. But for the most part, people are sitting in their cells bored out their damn mind or worrying about if they're going to die. Terrified, and the boredom will just annihilate you, man. And you know, when you learn a lot from that, man, you really do.
Definitely.
When you come out here and do the slow life ain't boring no more, you know, because just all the stuff that you took for granted is fun as hell. You know, even playing the damn PlayStation, man, it's just like, hey, I love it, you know?
Right. Yeah, like sitting around playing video games is kind of thing that everybody kind of takes for granted. But then when you compare that to the lifestyle that you had just been living for a while prior to that, it's like, shit, man, I'm sitting on a comfy-ass, comfortable couch. My brain is stimulated. I'm playing this game or whatever. I mean, that's when you think about it that way, it's like, shit, we all got it made just being able to sit here and do this.
Yeah, man, you know? It's just like, you know, other countries. Other countries are just... Third world countries ain't got shit. We got it made, man. You know what I mean? We're rocking and rolling. We're chilling.
I, I've been to a lot of countries too where I ended up leaving thinking the same thing. I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, I mean, I'm so fucking lucky to be able to do all the things I take for granted on a daily basis. Let me ask you, because I notice you end up sort of like looping in your commentary to be about sort of current events, like when the 6ix9ine shit exploded. That was like, you know, probably a lot of people were looking to you for a perspective on how he might be treated in jail or that kind of thing. Is that kind of how your mind state has evolved about your content, is where you want to sort of loop it in to relate to hot topics?
No, the only time I talk about hot topics like that is if it relates to being locked up. You know, if I can tell people what I think is going to happen, or if I could tell exactly just by watching the social media and the stuff that he puts out or someone puts out. I can, you know, a lot of people can judge some characteristics off these people, and it's up for discussion. You know, a lot of people need to learn from this situation. You don't go on music videos with guns and drugs and stuff, especially if you're a felon. Shit, you know how many people get locked up behind having a gun and on Instagram or something like that, and they're a felon just because they took a picture or made a music video with it? I mean, even a damn Teflon vest, you know, you can't wear that shit as a felon, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And people are getting locked up behind this stuff, man. And a lot of people don't understand that the people are watching, man. They're watching this stuff. And this is stuff that people can learn from, you know what I mean? Even if they're not super high profile, like 6ix9ine or something like that, all it takes is the wrong person to report it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Wrong person to see the video, call the feds. Feds, you know, you Google them up, call them up in their state and report it. You know what I mean? And that's it. And so it's just a learning experience, man.
What's your thought process on snitching at this point, being that you're sort of, you know, you're taking a step back, you're not necessarily part of the whole life and everything, but it's still such a hot topic, in particular when people look at 6ix9ine and they're like, oh, he's about to allegedly be free within the next year, while meanwhile all these actual bloods from an actual gang are gonna go in and do 10-15 years each. How does that sit with you?
Well, when it comes to the feds, man, you know, they're ruthless. It's a new day and age, man. People, they're dropping dime like clockwork, you know. I said it the best way. I made a video called Snitch, and just put yourself in these shoes, man. You got a wife and kids. You got three kids like me, wife and kids. And the feds catch you doing something. And they say, hey, you could throw this dude under the bus that you don't even know. All you did was get a little bit of money with him for 6 months. You could throw him under the bus for 40 years, or I could take you away for 40 years and lock up your wife as well.
Mm.
What the hell? What do you think the dude's gonna do? You know,
right.
You don't even know the dude. I mean, when they put it like that, and they're putting football numbers in front of you of how much time you're gonna do. I mean, thank God I ain't never been put in that position. You know what I mean? But that, you know, when that stuff happens, people rolling like, you know, they're like, yeah, I'm choose to stay home, you know.
Yeah, honestly, that's why I'm glad that I don't even have to put myself in a position like that, because I don't want to have to be making the decision about something like that. I don't want to be in a position where I clearly have to do something that is like ethically wrong in order to save my own ass, but I know that I'm going to have to make that decision because at the end of the day, we're selfish human beings. It's like, I'm not cut out for making that kind of decision. That's why I don't do anything illegal. Somebody want to loop me in on something, some scam they got going, whatever. I'm like, bro, have fun with that, but I can't get involved with that.
Yeah. Trust me, man. I know. I got people ask me to do crazy stuff all the time. I'm like, hell nah, man. You tripping, you know? But yeah, man. Snitching. It's a different ball game. I mean, you know, people don't want to do time. You know, it's rough.
Understandable.
It's rough doing time, man. Just doing 60 days. Can you imagine 40 years? You know, it's
crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so what to the people at home, in terms of your content, what's the best content that you've made, or like, how would you describe your content for the people who don't necessarily subscribe right now but are interested, if you want to just like tell them what they should go check out in terms of the stuff you've put out?
Man, honestly, I talk about anything that I can without exposing too much, because like I said, prison's a taboo. I'll talk about certain subjects, but certain subjects like where do inmates hide cell phones, I won't talk about shit like that. You know what I mean? But I'll tell you how I lit my cigarette. I'll tell you how I hid cigarette smoke, you know, petty shit that even correctional officers know. But I try to teach people situations, how to avoid them depending on what kind of person you are. I talk about crime, anything, you know, new stuff going on. It doesn't have to be popular music, musicians or whatever, just crazy crimes going on in the country. You know, I'll bring that to light. I do interviews with people that's been through crazy stuff in prison or jail. I cook. I do a lot of prison cooking. I've done cook just about everything I can think of when it comes to prison already. So I don't think there ain't no more of that. And my, you know, that's a couple of videos that blew up, you know.
Prison. Who was the rapper that did a whole cookbook about prison food?
I don't know, man.
Somebody did it. I forget.
Yeah, actually, I think a couple people did it, man.
Oh, okay.
Because I actually went on Amazon, and I looked it up. And I'm actually thinking about writing a book and actually having recipes at the end of it or something, you know?
That's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. You know, a book full of short stories. You know, pretty much my videos in paperback. You know, I think that'd be cool for inmates to get to read crazy stuff. But yeah, I talk about crazy stuff I did when growing up, my, you know, in the streets and stuff like that. That's about it, man. How to change your life around. You know, even though I'm talking about some depressing shit and it's about prison and lockup, you know, for real, I'm talking about changing your life around. And that's the key, man, because people, when they get convicted of felonies, they tend to settle for, hey, McDonald's, Hardee's,
right?
And you can amount to more, man. You know, people can amount to more. It just takes work and dedication, consistency. That's about it, man. Yeah, anything prison crime related, that's a channel go to, man. Lockdown 23 and 1.
You ever get sick of thinking about prison and stuff? A lot of people get out of prison and then they never really have to think about it after.
I tell people all the time, as soon as I turn off the camera, I don't talk about prison at all.
Right.
Yeah, you know, as much as I talk about it, you know, it doesn't affect me in a negative or, you know, positive way unless someone says, hey, you really helped me. That's when it hits me positive. And I never expected any of that to come from it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I never expected positivity like it's been happening lately to come from this channel. But, you know, after seeing all the people that I've helped, and all the emails and all that, I've been taking it very, very seriously. You know, within the last 7 months, I've been really trying to, because people are listening, and I want them, the young people, to change their lives around, man. And that's what it is, the youth, man.
Hey, you still getting piss tested so you can't smoke weed?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've been off papers for a while now, man. I could blaze up a little something if I wanted to.
But you don't go crazy with it? You try to keep it low-key now?
No, man. If, let's say, you know, I get drink, you know, have a good night out, and someone has a damn pen with them or something, I might tab it. But now, for the most part, I don't have no interest in weed, man. It makes me real tired, and I like to be uppity. And, yeah, you know, I'm on Twitch and stuff like that, so I'm always gaming too, man. So I always got a lot of stuff going on. But when it comes to doing drugs, man, it's coffee now. You know,
nah, yeah, that's a good point. Hey man, I appreciate you letting me pick your brain. I've been fascinated with the channel for a while, and I hope that a lot of people check out your content based on this interview, man.
Yeah, damn right, man. It's crazy, man. It's been going for a little over a year, and man, the limits are taken. You know, there's no limit. You know, we'll see how it goes. But I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you having me on the show. See, I'm used to being the interviewee you know.
No, I feel that for sure. Yeah, but I mean,
this is a little weird to me, man. I'm usually doing all the interviewing, but yeah, man. Big shout out to you, salute to you for having me on the show. Hopefully, you get some good content, you know, kickback. But yeah, man.
No, I mean, it's also, that's just motivational to the people out there too, is that you didn't come into this shit with any kind of connections or anything, and you only been doing it for like a year, and you already got a fucking fan base, and like, YouTube is just a world where if you're making good stuff, that people are going to find their way to gravitate towards it, you know?
Yeah, I tell people all the time, man, just be you. That's it. Just be you, man. You know, you'd be surprised. I got all these crazy cameras and lighting and stuff now, but I'll tell you what. Some of the videos that have the most views were the shittiest quality camera. I didn't even know how to talk, you know. Nothing, you know. So believe it or not, being authentic and 100%, you don't need all the crazy equipment and all that all the time. But at the same time, it's hit and miss. You know the game. It's hit and miss, man.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I appreciate you, Joss. Thank you very much for letting me talk to you. And everybody out there, his link will be in description. If you guys want to toss him a subscription, I'm sure you'd appreciate it.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. Salute to you once again, my friend.
Appreciate you, man. Let me know if you ever make your way to L.A.
Hey, for sure.
Fire. Appreciate you, Joss. Thank you so much.
All right, buddy.